ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
You know, one writer said, despite their outward denominational differences, all true Christians are spiritually and positionally united in the body of Christ by regeneration in their belief that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. Their commitment to the absolute authority of Scripture provides them with practical unity with one another here on earth and in the local church. All those who savingly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Absolutely. You know, there are some people that don't like the worship because we got drums or a guitar. They want to sing a cappella. Praise the Lord, there's churches that where they worship God singing a cappella. Praise the Lord that people can be comfortable in doing that. There is nothing wrong with that. But what happens is when we fight amongst the brethren, we bite and devour each other. See, look at all the different beliefs in different Christian churches. And you think, well, that speaks of disunity, right? Think about it. Can we differ on non-essential doctrine? Sure we can. You know, obviously. Is the gift of miracles for today? Some people say yes, some people say no. Is it a salvation issue? No, it's not. Well, what about the deity of Jesus? Well, that's a foundational issue. That's one we can't disagree upon. If you don't believe Jesus is Almighty God, the Savior of the world, then we have a problem. And I told you before, I had to deal with someone with that. I was, you know, asked to teach at in a home, and I didn't really know this person. Someone invited me, and the Lord led me to teach out of Romans, where, you know, Paul talks about the humanity of Christ and the deity of Christ, and we went over that. I did not know that the leader of this home didn't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. So I said, does anyone have any questions afterward? And he raised his hand. He said, yeah, you know, I don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, but we're still brothers in the Lord, so it shouldn't be a big deal. So, you know me. I said, well, wait a second. We just spent the last hour looking at the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is Almighty God, that that's the whole focus of the Gospel of John, is the deity of Jesus Christ. And apart from that, Jesus said, if you do not believe I am, you will die in your sins. So that's a serious issue. If you don't believe that he is Almighty God, the voice from the burning bush of Exodus chapter 3, Jesus said, you're going to die in your sins. So I said, I'm sorry, but if that's what you believe, we're not brothers. And there was, you know, all these other people listening in. Hopefully they listened. I was not invited back to speak, but I can't ignore the truth, though. Now, if someone wants to argue about gift of miracles or this or that, fine, whatever. I'm not going to argue with you over it. I know what I believe, and, you know, if someone's sick, I'm sure you pray for them to be healed. So, you know, it's not a big deal to me. But foundational truths, absolutely. We can differ on different things, but man, when it comes to Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done for us, there's no wiggle room. But that's what the church has done today, because they all want to get along, and so they ignore the doctrinal issues, and they tend to fight over the non-doctrinal issues, which is crazy. I'll give you an example, and, you know, please understand, I came out of the Roman Catholic Church. Being Italian, you're just born into it. You know, it's just the way it is. But there are people today that believe, Protestants, born-again believers, and Catholics believe in the same Jesus. Hear me out on this. I don't think they do. Why? because their Jesus is still on the cross, because their Jesus died only for some of their sins, not for all of their sins. I have to go to Mass and confession, and I have to do my confirmation. I have to do this. I have to do that. And even after all those things that I do to atone for my sins on this earth, even when I die, I have not attained that yet. So now I must go to purgatory and atone for my sins in purgatory. That's a different Jesus, because my Jesus, when he hung on the cross of Calvary, he said, "Tetelestai, it is finished, paid in full." And the reason, and we'll talk about this as we get further on in John, when Jesus is crucified here, but when Jesus, after he said that, and when he ascended up into heaven, what did he do? Something really important. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. What does that mean? It means the work was finished, and the Father accepted it. There were no seats in the temple area. You offered sacrifice after sacrifice. You had your morning and evening, festival day, feast days, you had sacrifices. Things were always happening. You were always working because the work was not finished, because animal sacrifices could never take away your sins. But Jesus can. And that's why he said, "It is finished, paid in full. The debt has been paid for by me." Wow. You see, there's where our unity is, based in the true and living God, in Jesus Christ. That's why we take our time going through the scriptures. That's why, you know, we're on our third time through the Bible here at Calvary, verse by verse, from Genesis to Revelation. And I think it's so important that we know the totality of the scriptures so we know what we believe and what God wants for us. And I think this unity is so important, because disunity shows the world that we're not one. This is what Jesus is praying for, that we're one, and we're fighting against it, and how it must grieve him. You know, there was a article in National Geographic several years ago, and it showed a photograph of these fossil remains of these two saber-toothed cats locked in combat. One had bitten deep into the leg bone of the other, and it trapped him. He couldn't get out, and they both died. When Christians fight each other, who wins? Nobody. If you keep biting and devouring each other, you're going to be destroyed by each other, Paul talked about in Galatians 5:15. And it turns people away from Jesus. You know, we have so much that is not in common, though. How could we ever, ever get along? I think Tozer gives us a great point. He says, "Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned, not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers met together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship." There's our key. You know, it's Jesus is the one who keeps us in tune. If you try to tune yourself to me, you're going to be off key. I have no musical ability at all. My poor wife has had to sit and listen to me sing for how many years? And, you know, she'll get a reward for that, I'm sure. But when we're tuned into Christ, then beautiful music flows from our lives. You see the difference there? You know, when I first got saved, and I knew nothing, I did watch my pastor. I followed him because he was an example to me of how to live, what to do. But there comes a point where, okay, I'm no longer looking at my pastor. I'm listening to what he's saying, but I'm looking to Jesus because he's the one. And I think that is very, very important. If we do our own thing, we're going to be out of tune, out of unity. And again, you know, look at these chapters, John 13 through John 17. The focus is really love. "A new commandment," Jesus said in John 13, "I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Why is that so important? This love, this agape love, this unconditional love. He said, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Wow. So there's a big issue, right? Our love for each other is a witness to the unsaved world of Jesus Christ. Then why is this such a struggle for us, right? I mean, we all struggle with this, I'm sure. I don't think I'm the only one here, hopefully not, that struggles with this. Because the devil loves to divide and conquer. Paul said in Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring. Wow. Be eager to maintain or guard the unity of the Spirit. Constantly. It's a battle. Because the devil doesn't want unity. Why do you think the government is starting to crack down on Christians today? Because it's a powerful force. God working through his people. Just like in the early church. I mean, from a few men, the gospel message went out to the whole known world within 30 years. That's a powerful God working through average people. And he's doing that today. Are we going to just sit around and fight? Or are we going to go out there and shine the glory of God in this dark world? This is what Jesus is praying for, our love, our unity with each other. And that unity is like the unity Jesus and God the Father have. That's what he's praying for. And all I can say is, Lord, please help me, because I'm so far short from that kind of unity. But that's what Jesus is praying for, prayer for unity. Now, what does this glory look like? Or what does this unity look like as we live out our faith? Well, look at verse 22 here in John 17. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. You know, we all want this unity with God, but what is it based upon? The glory of Christ. What does it mean? I think it's speaking of his attributes. The word glory, heavy, weighty. I think it's all that God is. He was humble, compassionate towards people. He loved them. And of course, yeah, we have to be saved if we even have a chance at this. But then we have to die to self. But let go of our selfish life and surrender our lives to God to be used for his glory. And I think love is the key to everything. Not a worldly love, but a godly love. Worldly love is like a phileo love in the Greek. It's a brotherly type of love. But an agape love is an unconditional love. It doesn't matter. What the person says, what the person does, I'm going to love them. Because think about it, how does God love us? With a brotherly type of love? Well, yeah, he does, but it's even more than that. It's the agape love. It's the unconditional love. And that's how he wants us to love others. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And what flows from that fruit of the Spirit is peace and long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and so on. We need to walk in the Spirit. Why? Well, Paul said there in Galatians, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Wow. You know, you just compare the fruit of the Spirit with the works of the flesh. Works of the flesh are just that. They're focused on ourselves. There's not a concern for the other people. What am I going to get out of this? If I do this, what are you going to give me? It's not, how can I bless you? How can I help you? You see, the difference there, crucifying the flesh. You know, Paul in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 5 through 7, put it like this. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, you also will partake of the consolation. Absolutely. You know, is it easy? No, like I said. But just as his true glory was to flow or to follow the path of lowly service, that's what we're to do. We're to be servants of Christ. It's not about how important we are. It's how important those other people are. Look out more for those around you than for yourself. You know, it's not about, oh, Pastor Joe gets the close parking spot. It's kind of funny because, you know, when my mom lived in Illinois, and we went to visit her one time. My dad was in the hospital, I think, and or my grandmother. Well, it was a really long time ago. And there was no parking. I mean, Lutheran General Hospital, huge place, very little parking. And so there was a pastoral care parking spot. My mom never acknowledged that I'm a pastor, never. She never told people. She pointed out to Julie, why don't you park in the pastoral parking spot? Yeah. For me, I park far away, ask my wife. If there's garbage in the parking lot, I'm going to clean it up. Why? Because I'm a servant of God just like you. Do I have a different role in the church? Absolutely. We all have different roles within the body of Christ, but it doesn't mean we can't do things. There's nothing to, I mean, my Lord and Savior washed the disciples' feet, the job for the lowliest servant. So who am I to say, well, that's a little below me? There is nothing I wouldn't do to serve him. You know, God's put his glory in us. And I see it kind of like a big light that shines. Now, we can cover that light so people don't see Jesus. But that glory is there as Christians. And we could have lots of reasons why, you know, we cover that light because of the fighting and being angry with people, can't love them. But that's not what God wants us to do. You know, I'll give you this illustration. During World War II, Hitler commanded all religious groups to unite so that he can control them. Kind of interesting. Among the Brethren assemblies, half compiled and half refused. And if those that went along with Hitler and what he wanted, got it, it was much easier for them. Those who didn't received harsh persecution. In almost every family of those who resisted, someone died in a concentration camp. And when the war was over, can you imagine the feelings of bitterness, hatred, anger, tension? And they decided after this war was all over, they had to get some kind of healing going on. So leaders from each group met at a retreat, and for several days each person spent time in prayer, examining his own heart in the light of Christ's command. I like that. Examining whose heart? Well, that other person and what they did. No, examining their own heart. And they came together. And Francis Schaeffer, who told of the incident, asked a friend who was there, what did you do then? And here was the reply. We were just one. You see, there wasn't the division. You did this, you didn't do that. No, they were one. And they confessed their hostility and bitterness to God and yielded to his control. Love filled their hearts. And when love prevails among believers, especially in times of strong disagreement, it presents to the world an indisputable mark of a true follower of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. You know, again, they were able to get beyond that anger, that hatred, because of Christ. They gave it to him. They died to self. Where there is a sense of God's glory, unity is much easier. Because those lesser things that often divide are in the background. What an example for us to follow. To let those things go. Not to hold on to them. Not to cause more and more anger inside of us. Because the only one we're really hurting is us and those who are watching us, unbelievers. As we read on, we're going to look at this beautiful picture here in verses 23 and 24, where Jesus said this, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. Back in verse 22, it ended, that they may be one just as we are one. And Jesus is really repeating that. And basically, what's in John 17:21. He wants us to be like the Father and Him, the oneness, the singleness of heart, that we would be made perfect. Wow. That should be our heart's desire. Lord, help us to have that kind of love, the love that only You can give. This is not a worldly love. This is not a manufactured love. This is not, you know, if I count to 10, maybe I won't be as mad. This is a love that says, I'm dying to self, and God, I am allowing You to shine for me. And the key, wow, that this unity would be like the unity that the Father and Son have. Yeah. Again, I'll give you another illustration. There was a professor demonstrating to his class the power of electromagnet. And he placed 2 pounds of nails on a table with wires of an electromagnet under the table, and he flipped the switch. And the nails came together, and he was able to form the nails into various shapes, and as long as the current was on. But when the nail, or when the current was cut, the nails fell back into a pile. And here's the key. As long as the current of God, the Holy Spirit, runs through us, we have unity, and God can form us into any shape He chooses for His purposes. And there is the key. The unity that's based in Christ, the empowering by the Holy Spirit to live the way He wants, He can form us or shape us into what He wants us to be, not what I want me to be. Now, again, there are many times where God speaks to us and shares with us what He wants to do in us, and our hearts are knit to His heart. It's like me coming up here to be the pastor. I knew what God wanted, and I surrendered to that, and His will became my will, and I obeyed. But it's always what He wants to do. You know, I don't want to get in the way of God, and I'm sure you feel the same way. And if, you know, you're struggling in this area, restore your relationship with God. That's the first thing. And I know that's shocking. How could you say that, Pastor Joel? How can you say my relationship with God is bad just because I'm not getting along with people? That's why I'm saying it's bad, because you can't get along with people. Something's wrong inside. That's the problem. And unless we're willing to surrender to God and allow Him to work in us and through us, our relationship will be off. And I've used the illustration before, but think of the vertical axis being our relationship with God. Think of the horizontal axis being our relationship with our fellow man. We're in tune with God. Guess what? Our relationship with man is in line. What happens if we start getting off kilter? Oh, now our relationship with man is off. And there's the problem. And again, I realize this is a really difficult message. This is one we need to hear, though. And maybe it's not you. Maybe it's just me that needs to hear it. But boy, how important in this day where everyone is looking out for their own interest instead of the interest of others. We need to have a different heart attitude. And I love the fact that God loves us more than we'll ever know. Verse 23 here, Jesus said that God the Father loved them as You have loved Me. How much does the Father love the Son? We can't even understand it. And now Jesus is saying, guess what? He loves you that much too. Wow. I don't know about you, it blows me away. When I was in Russia last year, and I was teaching at, they asked me to teach at the homeless shelter there. And there were several guys there, and I didn't know what I was going to teach on. They just told me that morning, can you teach? Because we had some extra time, and I said, absolutely, anytime I can teach the Word of God. And I don't even remember where I was at in the Scriptures, but one of the things that the Lord really put upon my heart was that I told them, you know what, guys? God loves me more than He loves all of you. And they kind of looked at me. And then I pointed to the first guy and I said, you know what? God loves you more than anyone else. And then I pointed to the next one and the next one. And you should have seen their smiles on their faces, because they saw that God loves them more than anyone else in the world. How can He love everyone that much? Because He's God. and he loves you that much. I don't want you leaving here today beating yourself up. I'm not a good person. I'm bad. Well, yeah, we're all bad. There's none good, no, not one. Get over it. Jesus saved you, and he loves you, and he's never going to tear up the adoption papers. So learn what he's teaching you and walk accordingly. I think it's important. And again, Jesus prayed that we would be with him in glory. Every time a believer dies, the Bible never speaks of a believer dying. They go to sleep. They're just passing from one body into a new. This body of flesh is going back to the dust of the earth. God's going to give us a glorified body one day.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with his sustaining word.